are now tuned to KU Student Radio, and you are listening to The UFM Show. It's Thursday night at 8 p.m. The UFM Show is broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, somewhere out there in the strange, mysterious realm. To reach the UFM during the show at any time, 801-585-3449. West of the Rockies, 801-585-3449. If you're east of the Rockies, 801-585-3449. Anywhere else, 801-585-3449. And now, here's your host, Justin, with tonight's UFM show.
Yes, I'm here. I am he. I am Justin. And you've got the UFM for the next 2 hours. It is 8 o'clock in the Mountain West. There we go, that's much better. Much better. I don't know what it is, but this studio is always a mess every time I come in here. So, I finally figured out what the cause it was, though. It was Ziv and Alex there behind the Blue Door show. They were the ones leaving the mess. And luckily, and thankfully, they were fired. Last week, if you didn't read the newspapers, that's what happened. Two fellow DJs got fired for making a mess of the studio. And in general, being rude. You know. Tonight's show is based on the Oscars, which are coming up this weekend, on Sunday, to be exact. 5 p.m. Pacific time and 8 p.m. Eastern time, so 6 o'clock here is when the Oscars start. And, you know, they usually have, like, that hour before the show or during the show where they have the red carpet thing where they walk, everybody walks in and you see all the stars and such like that. So that will probably be the first hour of the Oscars. We've also got a fellow Near Mountain Paranormal Society investigator with us this evening who investigated a hotel in Arizona over Christmas and has got a report for us. It's not the official report. He's still working on it and everything. We got EVPs and everything coming to us, but this is just the official report. But the official report will be hopefully next week, we're thinking, sometime. And he'll report to you what it was like staying in this hotel in Jerome, Arizona. It's supposedly one of the most haunted places in Arizona, so... But tonight's main focus is going to be the Oscars, and we're going to give out the nominees and my predictions and your predictions, actually, of who you think is going to win the big on Hollywood's big night. And I'm having a little trouble here accessing their website, the Oscars website. They must be getting heavy traffic. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our Intermountain Paranormal Investigator. He's going to be on the line with us. He's from Arizona. He's going to be telling us what it was like staying in this hotel in Arizona that's supposedly really haunted. So I'm going to play a song really quick, and I'll be right back in just a few minutes here on the UFM show.
One town's very like another when your head's down over your pieces, brother.
It's a drag, it's a bore.
This.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that. And what is your name, sir? Tell us your name.
Well, as an IMPS investigator, we like to remain anonymous, so I will go by my first initial of C.
C. Okay, C. Now you did an investigation. Tell us where. It was in Jerome, Arizona, right?
That's correct. Probably a lot of your viewers are not familiar with the history of Jerome, so I'll go a little bit into the history. Jerome is located, I don't know if you know where Sedona is, but...
Yeah, I know where Sedona is.
It's located kind of between Sedona and Prescott on Highway 89A, which is the U.S. Highway 89A. I think it runs up, 89 runs up by Salt Lake, but anyway, it's located down there, and it's in what's called the Verde Valley, and the Verde Valley is where the Verde River runs through, and the Verde Valley is actually getting a lot of populated, but back in the time when Jerome, which is a ghost mining town, was at its peak, it was around early 1900s, and so what happened was, and I think this hotel opened up in, it started off, well, me and my acquaintance, we stayed at the Grand Hotel in Jerome, and we spent three nights there, Friday, Saturday, and then, no, actually it was only two nights.
Okay.
But we spent there a night in Jerome because we heard Jerome was like a nice little place to go. There's a bunch of like jewelry stores, art, like galleries, and all kinds of what I like to call junk stores.
Yeah.
But back in its heyday, it was a mining town, and the main thing that they were mining there was copper ore. And it was owned by, I think his name was Douglas. His last name was Douglas. I can't, his first name passes me right now, but Mr. Douglas, excuse me, Mr. Douglas had all the land around there, and he had a huge mine going on. As you go there now, you can see a huge open pit. I mean, you could go on Google Earth and see this thing. But there's also extensive network of underground tunnels that they used to mine, and the copper ore goes almost, Jerome's located about 6,000 feet above sea level,
mm-hmm.
actually probably a little bit higher, but the copper ore, they mined it almost down to sea level, so you can imagine
wow.
like a 6,000 foot deep mine shaft down there, and they have a surface pit all on top of that that's pretty deep as well,
mm-hmm.
but back when Jerome first started, they like, had a really little hospital or whatever, and so they had a couple of major fires in the early 1900s that
yeah.
wiped out everything. And, well, the town was growing pretty big by the 1930s, so they said, well, you know, we need to put in a better hospital here. So they had to open up a new hospital on top of the hill, and this was like a state-of-the-art place. And this is actually one of the top hospitals in the West at one time
yeah.
for, like, its technology and just the conditions there. And so, like, whenever the miners would get sick and there'd be outbreaks of, like, waterborne diseases and stuff, they'd go up to the hospital and get cured and stuff. Well, the hospital is now a hotel. It's called the Jerome Grand Hotel, and you can look this up on the Internet. And it's a fairly nice place to stay if you like not getting sleep during the night.
Hmm.
And I'll go into that a little bit later. But the hospital itself is four floors. On the first floor was where the emergency room was.
Uh-huh.
On the second floor, I think they had patients' beds and stuff up there. But on the third floor was the operating rooms. And we happened to stay on the third floor.
Okay.
And on the fourth floor was the maternity ward. And that's where, like, they gave birth to babies. And that's also, I think, where acted kind of as a mortuary, too. So that's where the dead bodies went to.
But
we happened to... Go ahead.
I'm actually looking at Jerome Grand Hotel has a website for all of our listeners. It's jeromegrandhotel.net.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. But go ahead.
So the town, I mean, it was a hopping place between, like, the 1930s and 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as the mining kind of shut down a little bit and it became... You know, it wasn't worth mining anymore. The town kind of died along with the mining operation. So a lot of people moved out of the town. And there's a lot of abandoned buildings that happened, like, you know, that were left behind along with that.
Yeah.
And one of the buildings that was left behind, and I think that, like, it was 1953 or something when everything finally shut down and when the hospital shut down. And they just pretty much sat there empty until, like, around 1990s when I think Jerome, the whole town itself, was made a state or a national historical or state historical place. It's actually, there's, like, a state park there, which has, like, the old mining house where the Douglas guy lived. And it's a really actually interesting museum. I mean, you could see all the minerals and the gems that were mined out of the mine. And you
mm-hmm.
could also see this cool 3D model of what the mine is looks like with underground tunnels and all.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how deep those tunnels go and how deep that the ore body goes beyond 6,000 feet deep, so that even goes below sea level.
Ooh.
But it's a pretty neat place. And in the 1990s, these guys came along and they decided to, what do they call it? When they, like, redo, like, you know, not reinvent, but they... I'm lost for words tonight.
Did they restore?
Refurbished.
Refurbished, there you go.
Yeah, they kind of... you know, they cleaned up the hotel because it was sitting abandoned for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And they did new fixtures. They put in new showers and all kinds of things, so... I take it back. I'm looking at the website now, and it actually opened in 1927.
Okay.
But rehabilitation, is what I meant to say, started around 1994.
I see.
And that's when they kind of turned it into a hotel. And it's a pretty monstrous-sized hotel. Like I said, it has four floors.
Yeah, I'm looking at this website, and it actually looks like a beautiful hotel. I mean, it is.
It's done in an old kind of like Mexican adobe style. The outside's adobe. And, like, at the ends of each of the hallways, there's balconies overlooking, like, Jerome. And And in front, on the third floor, there's a balcony. We were fortunate to stay in a room that had a balcony that overlooked Jerome and the Verde Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty neat place. And I know I said that 100 times, but I'm going to sound like a broken record tonight.
So tell us what exactly were you there for, other than enjoying the stay?
Well, I read a couple of books before I went there about like haunted places in Arizona, and that was one of them. And I always wanted to visit Jerome because there's a lot of people in my work that go there and just hang out, and they just say it's a really neat place to go. And so I was like, well, you know, it wasn't over Christmas, by the way. I heard you earlier; it was mm-hmm. before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
A couple weekends before. But we decided to go there, and like me and my acquaintance, and we decided to spend the night. And part of the reason why I went there was I wanted to do a ghost investigation. And
yeah,
being a member of IMPS and all, it made sense. And this was our actually first IMPS investigation in the Arizona branch, and we're planning some more in the future.
Awesome.
There's plenty of haunted places in Arizona, by the way.
Yeah.
But so we decided to do a little investigation. So what I bought, I bought a new digital camera. And hold on a second, I can't remember what brand it was. But I had a little Olympus digital tape recorder.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot of room in it. And I had an HP PhotoSmart E327 camera.
Okay.
Along with us. And the camera is not the best quality. But it's good for, I mean, I don't take a lot, I still use a 35 millimeter for my main pictures.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like old fashioned that way.
But hold on a second. I wanted to let our listeners also know that the Intermountain Paranormal Society does have a website. It's ubstudios.com. That's ubstudios.com. And you go to their main page, it's on the left hand side. It's like this third link up, or the second link up. There's a cafe press shop underneath it. And click on that. You can see all of the investigations that the IMPS, Intermountain Paranormal Society, which I'm a member of, have been on. So most of those are actually my.
Well, you're not only a member, you're the president and founder.
I'm not only a member, but I'm also.
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, anyway, on the IMPS website, speaking of that, we should have a full investigative report on that by hopefully next week.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff to review. A lot of that I'm still reviewing on that, even though it was in December. But I've been really busy with my other job too. So
yeah, there's no problem. We all are busy with other things. I mean,
I'm always busy with school and hopefully you're getting good grades. And stuff.
Yeah, I am.
but anyway,
yeah. What was I going to say? Ghost investigation is more of a hobby than an actual full blown career.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do watch that show, Taps, and I just think that's a fun idea. You know, I'm an open-minded individual myself. I'm not going to shut out some idea just because, you know, people think it's like crazy or, you know, I want to find the facts pretty much. I'm looking for the facts, and that's the whole point behind doing a lot of these ghost investigations is almost kind of like the Taps do. You know, you go in there to see if it could be anything else, you know,
yeah.
Other, you know, if you can explain it in some rational way. And after reading those books about the Jerome Grand Hotel, which there are several books that cover some of the stories that happened there, some of the ghost stories, it just piqued my interest. I said, well, you know, I want to go there for myself and see what I can find and do a little bit of investigating myself. And so, I think it was the weekend of the 15th through the 17th of December.
Uh-huh.
Me and my acquaintance headed there. We spent the night of, maybe it was a three nights day, but we spent three nights there, I think. And, no, I can take it back. It was two. I can't remember. But we had a room on the third floor, which, as I mentioned earlier, was the operating floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd read the books before, but I'd forgotten a lot what it said, and I was trying to look for it before I went there. Or actually, I bought one, but I was reading a little bit about it while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought one at the hotel when I was reading that one. But so we were staying on the third floor, and the first night I used my digital camera and my digital recorder. And I walked around all the floors, pretty much the second through the fourth. The first floor is actually where the front desk is. The boiler room's down there.
Yeah.
And they have a hotel called the Asylum there.
Ooh.
And it's actually pretty good food there, but pretty darn expensive, too.
So that's a nice name for it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the whole... I mean, the whole town of Jerome is, like, they have a lot of haunted places, you know.
Yeah.
The Grand Hotel is the only one. There's the Haunted Hamburger, which is supposedly a haunted hamburger restaurant, or haunted... Yeah, but they have pretty good hamburgers there, too. I recommend it.
Uh-huh.
And there's also the inn at Jerome, and there's a lot of places that are haunted there, and the town itself is full of history, and I find it very interesting. I'm kind of a history buff myself, so I kind of just, you know, I go there and look at that stuff too.
That's cool. Yeah, we tend to be open minded as IMPS investigators.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing for you to be, you know, when you go and do these things. I don't think you should shut out just because, you know. You know, you have a certain belief system or something like that. You know, go out and find for yourself. You know,
yeah.
if you can't find the evidence, but the first night when I was in the room, in our room, and we happened to stay in room 37. The rooms go like 20s on the second floor, 30s on the 34,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So we were in room 37, and we were facing out towards the east, and we had a balcony, which was really sweet.
Yeah.
And the balcony, you can go out and walk on a balcony, you can walk up and down, and you can hear a lot of other people's TVs going on there at night. So when I recorded, a lot of my recordings, like, especially like when people were still up, you can hear people in their rooms listening to TV laughing, and it seemed to me that a lot of the guests in the hotel, like, you know, were unaware of what was going on, or didn't know, like, the haunted history, or they were just there for a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But I have one EVP I still have on the recorder. And I don't know how good this is going to sound over the phone.
Oh, okay.
This will be probably on the internet later. But I'm going to try to play it for you, and I'll see. This is like one of the first ones we recorded in the room. And let me know what you think of this.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get this to work.
Whoa.
I don't know if you could hear that. Could you hear that?
That is weird.
I said, can anyone hear us? And there was... a couple of violent, loud noises that happened after that. You know, and there was some laughing, too.
Could you play that again?
Yeah, hold on a second. Okay, hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear it?
Whoa.
Yeah.
It sounds like the ghosts are actually flatulating. that has got to be a record breaker. I've never heard a ghost fart EVP. So
yeah.
that's creepy at the same time, but hilarious.
Well, actually, I have a confession to make. That wasn't the case.
Okay, I was going to say that's kind of odd.
But that was just to like laugh up. You get your like, loosen up your audience a little bit. So
oh
little,
yeah, yeah.
I
hope they could. To me, that actually sounded very good.
But, you know, in actuality, I've been now analyzing this, and we did hear some actual genuine, something that I can't explain.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find one of them right now.
I do believe that the recorder you're using is virtually the same as mine. There should be a way that you can index your recordings.
Oh, I figured out a way to index them, so
yeah.
I did index certain spots. But
yeah.
I have to do a lot of fast-forwarding, too.
Oh, okay.
But let me see if I can find that. One of them. And this is a generally weird. I don't know what this thing is.
Oh, and while you're trying to find this, I'm going to let our listeners know that if they have any comments or questions or anything on this, they can also get a hold of us through MySpace, myspace.com/theufm. That's theufm, of course. myspace.com/theufm, and send us a fast flash, which is just a message. Just send us an instant message and we'll read it on air. If you want us to, if you're listening and have a comment or question. So, did you find it yet?
Okay, yeah, I'm getting close to it. I gotta just rewind here a little bit. But a little bit of background behind this. Our first night stay, we heard a lot of bangs out in the hallway. Just a lot of noise. We didn't get that much sleep both nights we stayed there. But the first night, we really noticed, like, the bangs. And the plumbing in that building is like, the walls must be paper thin because you can hear the plumbing. Like, someone, like, on the second night, I think it was Saturday morning at around 3 o'clock, took a shower, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there must have been the guy right next to us, or the lady, or whatever.
It's
so loud that you can hear, like, you know, the shower, you can hear people dropping soap, and you hear other bathroom noises, you know, you wouldn't be able to expect, but the walls are pretty much paper thin.
It sounds like the dorms.
Yeah. but coming up is a weird noise. I'll play for you.
Okay.
Coming up.
Okay. Whoa.
I don't know if you could hear that. Could you hear that?
Try and play it again. That was scary.
Could you hear that, though?
Yeah, I could, but hold on. I'm going to let the board take care of it.
Lost my place.
Get that clip really quick, and I'm going to let the board take care of this, because the board, the actual audio board that we're using... okay. You got it?
I lost it. I got to find my index again. Stupid thing.
It sounded like a or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you know, I was listening to a room, and I don't think that there's really any, you know, I don't think I could have made that. I definitely don't think my acquaintance could have made that noise.
It doesn't sound like you talking or anything. I mean,
it's really fast, and it's like sounds like it doesn't sound like flatulence either. So
no.
It's kind of really weird. God, this index system is really weird. I'm not totally figured out on it yet.
That's one thing that we recommend our team to know is the equipment very well. So I mean, you can anticipate problems in the field and everything.
Yeah. See, I read the directions on this like a long time before.
Yeah.
I knew how to use it pretty good.
One of the problems you encounter the most is dead batteries. So
yeah, and well, we did set the recorder up on the second night there, and we left it. Actually, I set up the recorder the first night, and I left it going all night. But I found out when I woke up in the morning that it was almost dead. Or actually, yeah, the battery's almost dead, and it had used up almost all of my space. Actually, I think it used up all my space on my recorder. But the trick was I had it on a high, you know, quality setting.
Yeah.
So that was
why it
come
was.
On.
That's why it didn't last that long.
Yeah.
And see, so, one of the problems I encounter most often, other than that, I don't actually... I've never had my camera... Actually, I take that back. The night last week that we did the show, the UFM show last week, on Thursday, I had a strange feeling in my dorm room, and I definitely know it's not haunted now. Not anymore, at least. It might have been at one time. But I set my camera up because I had a strange feeling, and I had it record all night, just audio, not video. And it was going, it was piping through with my computer. I did not hear any strange noises. So I mean, some of these investigations, you will catch things; others, you won't. You know, it's just, it's like the EVP I recorded in my room. I mean, that's a fluke. Have you found it yet?
I'm getting okay. Good, I got to work again. Okay, I'm going back to it. I'm in the process of rewinding it because I didn't have it set exactly at the points where there were noises. When I do my listening on these, I usually just try to like sit down every once in a while. And I finally figured out a good idea was to bring it to work because what I'm doing at work, I can listen to something.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring it to work and I analyze it there today. So I got a lot done today, but you know it takes a while, especially if you try to record all night.
Yeah.
And to analyze everything, but I mean that's a good ghost hunter will. Do this and
see when I was when we were first starting the amps out we hadn't even gotten our website on or we haven't been organized yet. I used to place tape recorders in my basement and have them come on at a certain time and everything. We would always catch
all right.
weird
I hate
sounds.
To cut you off but the sound's coming up. All right.
okay
so
no problem.
I'm gonna listen. I hope you guys can hear this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, could you hear that?
Oh my.
Okay, and so I started the tape recorder around 11 o'clock at night on that Friday night. And the way I have my tape recorder set up is it counts the minutes into it. So this was around almost 12 o'clock. And I think we were, you could hear her shuffling around in the background. I think we were asleep.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's like a weird, I can, my imitation of it is it kind of sounds like that.
And that sounded more human that time. I heard voice tone that time.
I didn't really hear, I can't really make out voice on that one.
Well, it sounds like a guy with a low voice, like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Ooh.
But I did capture some weird kind of like voices that almost sound golemish. Here, actually, I have a index set right up next to one. So let me.
That is creepy.
Let me see if I can. Let me see if you can hear this. All right. Actually, let me get to the right spot.
Let me know when you got it, because I'm gonna turn my mic off.
It'll be much better when I send it and get it like broken down and stuff like that on the computer. Here it is.
Okay.
So you can hear that? Could you hear that?
Yeah, it's like.
It sounded like a voice. Here, listen. It sounded like someone was whispering. Like, sounded like someone said Jeff or.
Yeah, I heard a Jim or a Jeff or.
Or Jeff. But you know, my acquaintance name was Jennifer.
Yeah.
So it could have been
Jen.
Jen. Yeah, there it is again. But it sounds like it's a whispering.
That is really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm thinking he's saying Jen.
But that doesn't sound like me.
Yeah, that does not sound like. It sounds like a guy with a higher voice. Like almost like a,
like a
Jen.
Whisper.
Jen.
All right. Here's another one, and what I think this one is saying, it says, "Okay, okay, here we go." But you can hear me kind of snoring almost in the background. But it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Because I'm snoring.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like a female voice, so. All right, here we go. Yeah, hold on a second. I lost this spot again. These things are really tricky to fast forward and. Here we go. Okay, could you hear the, it sounds, there's a, like, take a breath in there, and then they can hear, okay, okay, and then it sounds like it goes back into breathing. Listen.
Huh.
Okay, I don't know if you heard that time.
It sounded like it said hello, almost.
No, listen. It's like whispering.
Yeah, I can hear the whispering, but I can't make out what it's saying.
And that'll be broken down better when like I said, when we get the full report out.
Yeah, and it'll be on that same website that you see
on the IMPS website.
And
the last one that I found is, I think, the freakiest of them all. It sounds like almost like a golem from Lord of the Rings talking.
The precious.
Yeah, that's the precious. But anyway, it sounds like a. And the same situation here, I'm kind of snoring in the background, and it's, you know, my acquaintance could have been down this doors. But I think we're both asleep by this time, so it sounds like it's coming from the room, too. It sounds like it's within the room, and the room is it's a pretty small room for a hotel room.
Okay.
So just to give you a dimension of what the rooms are like.
Tell us what you're
here we go. Now, it's coming up in about 5 seconds or so.
Whoa.
Yeah, could you hear that? Here it goes again.
Oh.
See, it almost sounds like an old lady.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Oh, that is creepy. Oh. I can't wait to hear these in full color. Can you make out what she's saying?
I Kirill, hang on a second. Let me play it again. I can't really. I gotta slow it down or something to listen to it. But
yeah, that was tough. That's scary though.
Yeah, it is pretty freaky. But there's actually, within 10 minutes of this recording that I took, there was another, you could kind of hear that voice again. So let me get to that point. Okay.
So you actually recorded quite a bit of EVPs.
Yeah, this was all night long, and like I said, this isn't even done being analyzed yet. There's still probably about 3 hours to analyze.
Okay. Well, hold on. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I commend you on doing this work, because this is cool evidence here. This is exactly.
All right, here you go. Listen.
That sounded like they're saying, get over here.
Okay, listen. Actually, yeah, now you say it does. It sounds like a man, like a really raspy low voice thing. Like,
get over here.
Yes, that's
yeah,
over
it
here.
Does it. Holy cow, that sounds like a man's voice. Think, get over here.
And that sounds, to me, even on the phone, it sounds really clear.
Yeah, that, you know what? After listening to this a couple times, it sounds clearer than the other one.
And there's actually, I don't know if you can play that back again, but there's actually something before that.
Huh, well, let me play it back again.
See it? It was a short little...
Holy cow. You know, I never noticed that thing before. It almost sounds like, from what I can hear, you know, like I said, this had to be analyzed closer, but
mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like a woman's voice or like some whispering that says something before, right before that guy, something says, get over here, or whatever it says.
That is...
Oh, wow. Yeah, that, I didn't realize that before.
You know, when you send me this file, since I have to approve all of these files before they go on the website, when you send me these files, I'm going to play around with them, if you don't mind. I'm going to...
Oh, yeah. Actually, I don't have that. I lost my programming when that computer crashed.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot the password. And I need some new programming anyway.
We recommend Cool Edit.
Actually, I heard Pro Tools was pretty cool, too.
Pro Tools?
I was recommended Pro Tools.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look
but,
at that.
But, yeah, for, like, video editing or audio editing capabilities, I have lost that capability, but... I heard that you have some good, so I'll have to send some up to you.
Yeah, I have. I actually have Cool Edit, which is what I also use to make this show. But Cool Edit is a wonderful program because it allows you to analyze audio and allows you to fix problems, you know, hiss, stuff like that, and use filters and stuff like that. It's really really awesome. And I'm going to do that with this with these files. Those are creepy.
Yeah, now listening at that, that does, you know, I never... heard it like that before, you know. It's just I listen to it on the earphones, and sometimes I notice, like, if you take your what you're listening to and you play it while not listening to earphones, you can notice something that's different.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've come across that in your research.
Not really. I do have the same digital recorder as you, only it's like a model, like one model different. It doesn't have the PC capabilities like yours does, but
yeah.
So I just connect it directly from the earphone to the computer, you know, through the microphone. So I bet there's some variance in the audio between the actual recording and what ends up on the computer.
Yeah.
So, and I have never ever captured a EVP on my video camera, my digital video camera. So.
Well, you should. Well, I've heard your show before because. You know, we're all part of the Imp Society.
Yeah.
What you should do is you should go to one of those, like, Salt Lake haunted places you're talking about, you know. Do an actual investigation there, you know. Report on it.
I need a crew. Anybody want to volunteer with me?
Well, I'm sure you could find someone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, because really, this is, like, just the first part of the Arizona Imps chapter.
Mm-hmm.
This investigation. There's a lot of hotels... especially in these old mining towns, like, I don't know if you heard of Bisbee.
Bisbee, Arizona? Yes, I have.
And then there's Douglas, which is pretty close to Bisbee, and there's Tombstone.
Tombstone,
I mean,
of course.
There's just tons of haunted places.
And Tombstone's home to the OK Corral.
So
there's even some places in the Flagstaff, a couple hotels in the Flagstaff that are have like a couple rooms where, like, you know, the weird things will happen. And, you know, just reading these books, and like I said earlier, you know, I think when you're doing these investigations, it's really important to keep an open mind and not a closed mind. And I would actually like to see some of these people who, like, don't believe ghosts, like, you know, get involved in this too. Just, you know, prove to themselves whether they're real or not. I mean, because as far as I'm concerned, like, what I just recorded, I can never fully prove if that was, like, a real ghost or not. You know, there's...
Yeah.
Science right now doesn't allow for that. But, you know, from what I hear... You know, I can't explain that voice that was on there. And I mean, honest to God, that wasn't me or someone else.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely that. The one,
or,
the
know,
last
it could
one.
Have been someone else, but it wasn't from our room.
Yeah, the last one is, I think, the scariest. The last
oh,
two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after listening to that again, I think I agree.
So.
It does sound like it says, get over here.
And you've listened to the show, the last ghost show we had the first season. Where I actually caught that EVP in my room.
Yes, I heard that.
That one is at this point possibly the clearest EVP I have. I don't know about yours. We'll have to see. But we definitely have some EVPs on our hands here. These are unexplainable.
Yeah, and I heard there was a fellow researcher on there before, and I think he was talking about something where he went to a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And he recorded something saying "friend" or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was way back in 2003. Actually, that was one of our first investigators.
Well, yeah, I mean that kind of stuff. Like if you go to a cemetery.
Cemeteries are hot.
And I heard those things from your cemetery too, and those sound like, you know, I heard the two voices talking over each other.
Yeah, the Salt Lake Cemetery is definitely one of the most haunted cemeteries here in the city.
Yeah, I gotta be careful but
yeah, there's crazy people up in the avenues.
But to further my story, that was just some of the EVPs that we took. Now I did as part of my investigation. Both nights we stayed there, I walked the halls. First night I walked from the second floor up to the fourth floor, and I took my recorder along, and I did the typical ask questions. And I went to certain rooms on those floors that were supposed to be more active than others, because in these books they mentioned the actual room numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that this happened, this room number, and so forth. So the first night I went from the second floor to the fourth floor, and I walked around and I took a couple pictures. Now, I didn't catch anything that looked, you know, like a ghost or anything, but I did capture some pictures of some orbs on there.
Yeah.
Now, I tend to believe that orbs are just particles of dust floating in the air. I don't necessarily believe that orbs are spirits or anything.
Oh yeah,
like that.
We've caught our fair share of orbs as well.
Yeah, you know, I can like go into a dusty room and shake a couple dust up and take a picture with the flash camera and get a lot of orbs on there. So
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think those are ghosts, but I did capture some orbs. And there's a stairwell that connects all the floors. And that's where I caught most of the orbs on there.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is one interesting aspect about this hotel. It's a true story. That the old maintenance keeper of the hotel, the old guy that used to take care of the electronics and the elevator and stuff.
Yeah.
I can't remember what date it was, but he was smashed by the elevator.
Ooh.
On the first floor. And there was no one around when it happened, but, like, they came down about, I think it was 20 minutes later, and they found his dead body. His head had been pinned underneath the elevator.
Oh.
And a lot of people, at least in the books or at the hotel, blame the supernatural occurrences on this guy who used to, you know, operate there. And what happened when they were doing the rehabilitation of the building... the guy was looking at the wiring, and he said that one of the safety switches on the wiring of the elevator was, you know, pulled apart. And that can only happen if someone physically goes in there and does that. So he came up with a theory that he thinks that the guy who was smashed by the elevator was murdered.
Really?
Yeah, and a lot of times if you do ghost investigations, if someone is murdered or someone commits suicide, there's sometimes a lot of, you know,
residual,
you know, phenomena, spiritual presences associated with that kind
yeah.
of thing. But this hotel, and I tell you, this is a true story. This really happened. This guy actually got smashed by a hotel, mm-hmm. by the elevator.
By the elevator.
And so, a lot of people blame the weird occurrences on that. And you know, I went and did all the elevator thing. I rode the elevator. I bought the recorder in there. I didn't really capture anything on the either the pictures or the EVP. But there was a couple nights, or both nights when we were staying there, you know, there's sometimes, like they say in the ghost stories, that people hear the elevator operating when it's not actually even moving, or it's like out of commission, it's stuck on the third floor, and they hear it, they hear like mechanical noises of the elevator working even though it's not even, you know, powered. And we did hear a couple loud bangs through the night, which some of them did sound like the elevator, because we were kind of close to where the elevator came out. It did sound like the elevator going up and down.
Yeah.
Now, rational explanation for that could have been someone riding up and down the elevator. You know, there seemed to be a lot of people staying up late in that hotel, taking showers at 3 o'clock in the morning. So. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so the next morning, though, the Saturday morning after the first night of investigations, my acquaintance and I decided to go downstairs, and they had some donuts and some coffee in the front lobby.
Yeah.
So we decided to have that for breakfast. And while we were there, my acquaintance discovered this book of this little notepad, yellow notepad of like weird things that had gone in rooms that people from who had stayed at the hotel recorded them. And so we, she was flipping through that, and she happened to see room 37 on there.
Mm.
Oh, what happened in this room? 36?
Yeah.
We were in 36. Oh, you know, we were in 36.
36? Okay.
Okay, but anyway, so she happened to see room 36 on there, and when she saw it, she said, the night before, she kept on saying, do you smell smoke or whatever, and I didn't really smell it, but she kept on smelling, like, what she thought was cigar or cigarette smoke, and it's a no-smoking floor. I'm not sure if there's, in fact, I don't think there's any smoking allowed in that hotel, but, she kept on saying she smelled smoke, but it'd be like really, you know, she'd smell for a minute and it'd go away, and like, you know, maybe an hour later, so she smelled again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone else who had stayed in room 36 had experienced the same thing. And I went back and I looked, when I got back home, I got the book that I forgot to bring. I bought one while I was there, but a different one, but
mm-hmm.
I got the book that I forgot to bring, and I looked at it, and it said people on the third floor have experienced, you know, smells of cigar or cigarette smoke when there's no smoking allowed there.
Ooh.
So my acquaintance actually experienced the cigar smoke, and we didn't know that, you know, we didn't realize that until we went down there and read that little, you know, notepad that said all that thing.
Did you smell it yourself?
I tried really hard to smell it, and I think I smelled something that was different on the second night. It kind of smelled like an old, smoky, musty smell.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is an old hotel, by the way, so there could be a lot of smells associated with it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was an old, musty smell. And I couldn't really put my finger on it. I didn't necessarily automatically think of a cigar smoke or cigarette smoke, but I did smell something that was a little bit off, and it didn't really last that long. Now, remember, that was an operating floor, too.
Yeah.
And the book also reported people smelling ether, which is associated with operations and
yeah.
medical procedures and all that kind of stuff. Now, I didn't smell any of that either, but people also said that they've heard squeaking noises, like the sound of, like,
carts.
You know, gurneys, or going down, up and down the hallway, rusted gurneys.
Yeah.
Carrying patients. Now, I did, on my recorder, capture some, you know, rare squeaking noises. In fact, you know, while we're talking, let me see if I can find that. But, you know, at the time, you know, you don't hear these things, but when you play it back and record it, you hear it.
Okay. That's like one of the things of EVP is you...
Yeah. But, so let me see if I can find that. You got a commercial break or anything?
Yeah, I'm going to take a. I can take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
For you, if you want to find that really quick.
Yeah, let me get that found.
We do have about 7 minutes left in this hour, so just
letting
that. Okay, take a quick commercial break here. On the phone here with C, one of the IMPS investigators.
Yes.
And I forgot to ask you this earlier.
during your EVPs, there was a strange clicking noise. Is that mechanical, or what is that?
Yeah, that's, well, in the room, there's a, there's like an old clock, and it's like a ticking clock, so I...
Oh, okay.
You know, I put the thing close to the clock. There's not really any other place, the other place to put it.
That's kind of neat, too, because you have something else to keep time while you're...
Yeah, and you can kind of reference it. I mean, if you want to count all the ticks a second, it's kind of a pain, but, you know, on your... on your little digital audio recorder, you can, like, time it up, sync it up with the actual seconds going off on there, so...
Yeah.
But I did find the squeaking noise that you were asked about.
Okay.
So, and it goes on for about 30 seconds, so let me know what you think.
All right.
It's coming in about... I don't know if you heard that. There was a really loud squeak towards the end.
Yeah, that was... I didn't hear the other ones, but the squeak at the end was obvious.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a couple times where I caught that on the digital recorder, but so far what I've found, I've found tons of bumping or banging noises and stuff.
That could also, though, that could be people.
Yeah, and a lot of these banging things, like in the morning when we woke up the second day, they had an old-fashioned radio that takes, you know, hot water.
Oh, yeah.
To kind of sit by the wall, look like the metal accordion.
Mm-hmm.
And those bang, you know, when they turn on.
Yeah.
And, like, when I woke up in the morning, that thing was like, you know, there was banging and stuff, and I thought for a minute there was something going on because it was right by my head. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And it was banging, and, you know, that's obviously the...
The radiator.
The water pipes. And a lot of these things do have rational explanations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the case when you're doing a lot of ghost hunting, is you can, you know, a lot of them do have rational. You can deduct them down to something that's like happens commonly, like, you know, like I said, the water turning on, or someone taking a shower, or someone using a toilet in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, like I said, the voice that you heard, the EVPs I played earlier, I don't really know, especially the last one. That was really weird.
And the squeaking, that sounded odd, too. I mean, that doesn't sound like something that's normally in a hotel.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, what else it could really, you know, come from, unless someone's, like, maybe open up a squeaky door somewhere. Or I do have to mention, the second night it was, we stayed there, it was like the Saturday night, it was really windy outside.
Mm.
Oh, excuse me. And the at the end of the hallway on our floor, there's a balcony that kind of opens up into this little patio area, but it's closed. It's an indoor patio.
Yeah.
But you can open up the doors and, like, look outside and stuff. And they had it all shut, but the wind was so bad that a huge gust came by, and there was a table blocking the door to get in there, so you couldn't really walk in there. They had it blocked off by this heavy table with a plant on it.
Uh-huh.
But the wind got so bad, it blew open the doors inside the patio, and then it blew open the main door to the hallway, and it knocked over the table with the plant on it into the hallway. It was a loud crash. And, like, I mean, it was like, what was that? And I walked down the hallway, and I looked down at the end, and sure enough, there was, like, the table was tipped over, the plant was tipped over with dirt all over the place, and the wind was blowing down the hallway because it was so bad.
And that,
but, like,
that
I walked down there, and this lady, like, this heavy-set lady in her bathrobe, which I didn't need to see, walked out, and she's like, what's going on? And I said, the wind just picked up and blown out. Oh, well, that was kind of freaky. I'm like, yeah. And then she just went back in the room. But, but yeah, we had to spend actually a good half. We were going to go eat supper, I think, at the asylum downstairs, but we had to spend like a good half hour just fighting those doors to keep them closed because the wind was so bad. Finally, we found we got the hotel staff, one of the hotel guys at the front counter to come up, and we found these, like, latches to lock the place, and used those, but it's like, God, it was crazy.
Yeah, I have to say, though, this is just random, but it's extremely windy here tonight, too, and it's awfully weird.
Well, see, that's another thing, though. Some of these bumping noise can be explained by the wind, and, you know, you can hear the wind, like, when it was getting really pushed on the building creaking.
And also,
the building, a lot of the buildings in Jerome were on the side of a hill, and the hills have a pretty steep grade, so they had a lot of problems in the past with subsidence or the buildings, like, just, you know, sliding down the hill and falling apart. And, you know, this is an old building, so it's probably settled in most of the ways, but you're still going to hear creaks and cracks because of the settling and all that kind of stuff. But I do have to mention that during the next day, that Saturday during the day, we spent the day walking around Jerome, and there's a lot of haunted places in Jerome, like I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is called the Liberty Theater, and it was the original kind of like movie theater they had in town, really old-fashioned. And they used to have like plays up there, I guess, before, but they turned it into a movie theater. Like, it was still back in like the 20s, and they had a lot of houses for ladies of the night, or, you know,
yeah,
brothels and stuff like that. And I think that was, there's a lot of brothels around there too that were haunted. But when we were at the theater, there's like, you pay like really, like I think it was like a dollar, and you can go up and see like the little museum for movies and stuff. And they had like a lot of old posters, a lot of old movie nostalgia stuff. And in the main theater chamber, they were playing this movie called Ghost of Jerome.
Yeah.
And that was playing on the hotel TV too, and we watched that. But I went and took a picture of my acquaintance walking up the stairs in the main theater, and this is up by kind of on a balcony, and it's just chock full of orbs, you know. And I don't, you know, like I said, I don't really think that those are spirits, but I just find that kind of interesting. This theater is supposed to be kind of haunted too, and I go up there and I take this picture, and it's just, that's all you see is orbs flying around and stuff. And I don't necessarily remember, it was really dusty in there, but I, like, once again, I don't really think that was anything significant.
Because I've gotten orbs pretty much everywhere I've taken pictures.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's really easy to get an orb, you know.
The ones on video, though, the ones on
go
video,
ahead.
The orbs on video are hard to explain, though.
Yeah, or rods, you know.
Rods,
you get,
yes.
I don't even know if rods are spiritual or whatever, but...
Anyway.
Yeah, that was pretty much the summary. The second night, I left the tape recorder going all night. And that's when I captured the, I did have to turn it to a lower power, though, so I couldn't get more time on my recorder, but that's when I did hear the EVPs that I played earlier, and the squeaking and all that stuff.
Can you hear this? Hold on a second. Can you hear that singing?
What noise?
It's sort of like singing. It's coming in over my microphone, or my headphones. I don't know if you can hear it out there.
What does it sound like?
It sounds like singing.
Singing of what?
Like a guy singing something.
No, I can't hear that.
Oh, okay. It's really loud here. It could be these people in the fourth floor of the Union, but I don't know. It's just... That's really strange. Hey, we were talking about that, and some people... Anyway.
Huh.
So.
But anyway, yeah, that's the... The second night, I did the same thing. I walked around each door, and I went to the hot spots, supposedly, where they're ghosts.
Yeah.
I do have to point out that I did ask the lady at the front desk if she had any ghost experiences. And she said, she only had two. There's a bar, like there's a pillar, like in the front desk area that holds, like between the desk and the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And there was a picture hanging on it. And she said one day that the picture... Whoa, what was that?
I don't know.
That was weird.
Anyway.
But she said one day the picture flew off of the, like, its hook, and it flew into, like, the lobby area, and it kind of just hovered there for a very split second, and then it kind of slowly dropped to the ground. And she said she, like, kind of freaked out after that. You know, she said she hadn't really experienced anything but there before. And there was another lady that was working there with her that hadn't really experienced anything. And she also said that one time she was in the boiler room, and there's a little sink in there. Because she showed us. She gave us an actual little tour of the boiler room, which is pretty neat. Because the boiler room is actually this, like, the siding where a lot of people say they see the guy that was smashed by the elevator. They see him in there because that's where he used to work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But she said one day she was in there cleaning dishes, and... there was a knife sitting up on the edge of the sink, and for no apparent reason, she wasn't even, like, touching it, or, like, you know, she was drying something, she wasn't even touching it. The knife flew off of the sink, and it flew, like, onto the edge of this little concrete moat thing that goes down where the boilers are, and it just kind of sat there on the edge of the moat. It didn't fall in or anything. It just landed perfectly so it wouldn't fall in. But, you know, she wasn't even touching or anything. It just kind of flew across the room and landed on this thing.
That's weird.
So, yeah, she's, you know, that's like her basically her paranormal experiences. But there's a lot of other stories. You could buy books about it.
And
as far as our occurrences, yeah, the EVPs that we've found so far and the smell of the smoke, that's pretty much what we experienced there. And a lot of bangings and creaks. We didn't get much sleep both nights. We were really tired.
So you recommend people, you recommend our listeners go stay there if they can, though?
Well, yeah, I do. If you want to have if you're interested in history and interested in ghost hunting, don't go there and be disrespectful and wake up the guests and try to pretend like you're a ghost. That's just disrespectful and stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid.
But, you know, if you're into this kind of stuff where you're, want to find out and you want to do a little investigation of your own, yeah, I would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said there's tons of places in Arizona to go to, or actually everywhere. I'm sure there's a lot of places in Utah you can see that are supposed to be on it.
Oh, yes. There's plenty in the Salt Lake, too, and we've discussed those on the shows that we've had in the past.
Yep.
Well, stay tuned for on the UB Studios Intermountain Paranormal Society website. That's ubstudios.com, ubstudios.com. On the main page, you will see a link to the Intermountain Paranormal Society. It's on the bottom. It'll take you to all of our catches. This one, this story by our fellow investigator in Arizona, C, which we talked about tonight, it will be on there shortly. We are thinking next week sometime.
Hopefully next week. Yeah,
hopefully.
I still have, like I said, I have about 3 hours to do, and I could probably knock that down in no time. It's just a matter of, like, getting the files up to the IMPS headquarters and getting them processed.
And I'll be sure to take a listen to these as well, and we'll hopefully bring them back on the next show where you can explain frame by frame what we are hearing. And such.
Yeah, and the report will also include pictures, like the ones of the orbs and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, I look forward to seeing that and look forward to hearing those EVPs, because from what I heard on the phone, they're very creepy.
Yeah, and I'm surprised you heard those pretty good. I didn't think that was going to work.
Yeah, it worked very well, actually. So
well, tell your listeners, if they have any further questions on the IMPS thing or the investigation, they can call in later, or they can go to your That's My Stew Boy website.
Yeah.
But the UFM.
UFM show. Yes.
Ask questions. I could probably get back later on the show and call in. I'll be listening all night.
Okay, thank you. And you can we'll forward the questions to you. Okay.
All right.
Have a good night.
Been a pleasure being on the show.
Yes, we really appreciate that.
All right.
Good luck with the remaining 3 hours.
Oh, I'll make it.
Okay. Good night.
All right.
Okay. And that was our fellow IMPS, Intermountain Paranormal Society investigator C from Arizona. We like to go by our anonymous names. I would be Jay. Of course, you all know me, Justin. Anyway, yes, if you want to contact us at any way, the phone lines are now open. 801-585-3449 is the number. 801-585-3449 is the number to give us a call. Comments on our last hour's worth of programming, or any questions about ghosts or anything, questions about the show in general, we will try to answer those. Also, you can send us a fast flatch on myspace.com, myspace.com/theUFM, myspace.com/theUFM is our profile, and send us any messages there, and we will read them on air. We appreciate all of you out there. We are trying to become the most listened to show here on KUT, and we really need your help in obtaining that. Not because I want a $5 gift certificate or anything like that, not because I'm going to tear apart the studio, but just because I like doing this as a hobby and we love entertaining you. Stone, Temple Pilots Day here on KUT Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms, KUT.org, and online as always at KUT.org. Anyway, the second hour of the UFM show is going to be mostly about the Oscars, which are this weekend, Sunday to be exact, 6 p.m. our time. Now can you hear that? This is... There's like some strange music playing outside of the studio, and some strange people as well. Of course, what else is new? It's the UFM show. The Oscars are on this weekend, Sunday, at 6, like I said, on ABC, which is Channel 4 here in Salt Lake. Check your local listings if you're out of the listening area, or out of Salt Lake if you're not in Salt Lake. If you live in the dorms, we're sorry, but your cable connection absolutely sucks, because there's nothing you can do about it. Sorry. Okay, that's not the song I wanted to play. Anyway, I do have some... While I'm talking about the Oscars this hour, I do have some fairly famous music from such Oscar-winning movies as Forrest Gump and many others. Okay, starting tonight's list of nominations and my predictions is makeup. Now, to some people, makeup is very important. To some people, it's not. I'm kind of in the middle on this one. Makeup is not one of the most important categories in the Oscars. But it's surely up there. Now, nominated this year for the makeup is Apocalypto, which was directed by Mel Gibson, Click, which stars Adam Sandler, and Pan's Labyrinth, which I have no idea about. That's a foreign film. It's also up for Best Foreign Film. My prediction on makeup, I'm going to say Apocalypto, only because, well, not only because, well, I just think it's one of my favorite movies I've seen this year. It's actually on the top 10 that I've seen this year. And I'll discuss with you that later. I know this is totally deviating from what you would normally think the UFM would do, but we've also, remember, done a political show. We've done a Dreams show, so... UFM likes to remain flexible as far as our show topics, and tonight's happens to be the Oscars, since they are this weekend. Okay, I'm looking at for my best list of 2006. Yeah, Apocalypto is number 3 on my top 10 of this year. Okay, our next nomination is the original score, and one of the most... One of the best Oscar-winning scores in a long time is Schindler's List from 1993, I believe. 1993. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But this year's nominations for original score are Babel, which stars Brad Pitt, The Good German, which I have no idea about, Notes on a Scandal, which I also have no idea about, and Pan's Labyrinth and The Queen. Now, judging that I haven't seen any of these films in the original score category, and they're going to be playing little clips, I'm going to have to say... that's a toughie. That's probably going to go to The Queen, I'm going to have to say, for original score, even though I have yet to see The Queen. And the same goes for this next category that's going to be in the Oscars, Original Song. Oscar for Original Song. The nominees this year are I Need to Wake Up, which was in An Inconvenient Truth, which is a documentary made by Al Gore, the song called I Need to Wake Up. Three songs from Dreamgirls are actually nominated this year, and I'm guessing Dreamgirls is going to take it, at least one of these. Listen from Dreamgirls, Love You I Do from Dreamgirls, and Patience from Dreamgirls are on the nominees, and Our Town from Cars is nominated this year for Best Original Song. Now, getting into the more important categories, those certainly aren't, you know, unimportant in all of these aspects, but they're the three that are least cared for. Costume Design, nominated this year, Curse of the Golden Flower, The Devil Wears Prada, Dreamgirls, Marie Antoinette, and The Queen. I'm thinking Marie Antoinette is going to win. That or Dreamgirls. I'm saying it's a tie between Dreamgirls and Marie Antoinette. I've yet to see any of those films, or any of these films that are nominated for costume design, nor do I. I'm not going to see them. I don't have the desire to see Dreamgirls. I just don't. It's not one of my favorite kinds of movies. But for costume design, I'm thinking either Dreamgirls or Marie Antoinette is going to win. As far as continuing with this thing here, art direction. The nominees for art direction this year are Dreamgirls, The Good Shepherd, Pan's Labyrinth, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and The Prestige. Now, I've heard The Prestige is actually a very good film compared to the other one that came out at the same time, The Illusionist. I've yet to see The Prestige. I think it's still playing at the Sugar House Theater, actually, the cheap seats. So if you want to see that, it might still be there. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But I'm thinking, I'm definitely wanting Pirates of the Caribbean to win, because it was one of the only films I've seen out of there. And I'm hoping that'll win. We shall see, though. But, I don't know, it could go to Prestige, it could go to Pan's Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth, I think, might win that one, Art Direction. I'm putting my money, though, on Pirates of the Caribbean. As far as animation is concerned, we'll give you all the categories for animation. Best animated short film. The nominees this year are The Danish Poet, Lifted, The Little Match Girl, Maestro, and No Time for Nuts. I have not seen any of these animated shorts, so I'm going to leave that one up to the Academy on Sunday to vote that one. I'm sorry. As far as Best Animated Picture, the nominees are Cars, Happy Feet, and Monster House. Do you notice there's no film in there that's made with traditional animation? All three of those are computer animated films. Now, it's not that computer animation is bad, but this is a personal rant here. I hope you guys are ready for this. CGI is used too much these days. And being a film major, I notice these things. I like a film that can use, you know, visual effects, but, you know, tone down the CG. You know, CG can still be used because it's a wonderful technology. It's very helpful. But when you overuse it, like Star Wars, for example, the new Star Wars films, all those, they're gaudy. They're not real enough for me. Like, the original Star Wars films were a lot better than the newer ones. That's just my personal opinion on that. But CG, when you overuse it, it's just too much. As far as animated features, yeah, I can see the joy in watching an animated feature like this, computer animated, because I really enjoy the Shrek series, the first two Shreks, and the new one coming out this year. The new one's going to hopefully be good. The first two are excellent films, as far as CG is concerned. Now, on to sound aspect of film. The sound aspect of film. Blah. Here, I'm a filmmaker, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Sound mixing. In the category of sound mixing, the Oscar will probably go to Apocalypto, or Flags of Our Fathers, which I have yet to see. But the nominees in that category are Apocalypto, Blood Diamond, Dreamgirls, Flags of Our Fathers, and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Those are the nominees in sound mixing, and I'm thinking either Flags of Our Fathers or Apocalypto, because Apocalypto has got one hell of a sound mix, I must say. That is an awesome film. And it's cool, because it's history, and it's kind of what really might have happened. We don't know, but it's history. Best sound editing. And we were talking earlier about Ghost using a Cool Edit program. Cool Edit is a wonderful audio editing program, but I'm sure the major studios, and in fact I know the major studios, use something that's like 10 times better than Cool Edit will ever be. But anyway, on that note, sound editing, the Oscar will probably go... this is a hard choice. I'm going to say Blood Diamond, even though I haven't seen it yet. But the nominees for sound editing are Apocalypto, Blood Diamond, of course, Flags of Our Fathers, Letters from Iwo Jima and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. And I'm thinking, in the sound editing category, Blood Diamond's probably going to win. Now, that's as far as sound. Foreign language, the best foreign language film this year that wins the Oscar. Here are the nominees. After the Wedding, Days of Glory, The Lives of Others, Pan's Labyrinth, and Water. I have not seen any of these, but I'm thinking Pan's Labyrinth is probably going to take the best foreign language film Oscar. As far as editing goes, film editing, I'm hoping, well, I'll give you the nominees and I'll tell you who I want to win. Either one of these will be fine by me, because there's three possible films on here that I want to win, and any one of them winning will be fine by me. The nominees are Babel, Blood Diamond, Children of Men, The Departed, and United 93. The last three in that list, Children of Men, The Departed, and United 93, I would love to see win the Oscar that year, or this year. I'm hoping Children of Men, actually, or The Departed. Departed was actually a very good film, and I'll get to that more in a minute. Documentary. Here we go to documentaries. The best documentary short this year might be either The Blood of Yingzhou District, Recycled Life, Rehearsing a Dream, or Two Hands. And I'm going to randomly pick one of these. I'm thinking Recycled Life is going to win the Oscar this year for best documentary short. Documentary feature, now these I know more about. The nominees in this category are, on a more personal note, I've actually loved documentaries, and I've had a recent thing with a lot of documentaries. I've watched a lot of documentaries in the past few months. So the nominees for direct documentary feature are Deliver Us from Evil, An Inconvenient Truth, Iraq in Fragments, Jesus Camp, and My Country, My Country. That is the nominees for the directing category. My personal pick, my one that I hope wins, is definitely An Inconvenient Truth, because it was probably my favorite out of the list. Jesus Camp was okay. It was very emotional. I mean, it got you heated discussion. What are they doing to these kids in this country? Kind of thing, you know. But I still think An Inconvenient Truth was just basically your proof right there that global warming does exist. And you can see it in that film. Inconvenient Truth is going to win Best Documentary Feature this year at the Oscars. Now, we go to the cleanup, these rest of these categories. Visual effects. Now, I was talking earlier about CG. A lot of these films that I'm going to mention use CG as well, and overuse of CG. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Poseidon, and Superman Returns. I can guarantee one film on this list that I do not want to see win is Poseidon, definitely. Or Superman Returns. So my bet is Pirates of the Caribbean is going to win at least one Oscar, and it's going to be in visual effects. Because Poseidon was just absolutely terrible as far as movie goes, and as far as special effects, because filmmakers are always trying to show something that they haven't done before. But Poseidon was just a ripoff. It was totally useless piece of cellulose. Short film live action. The best short film this year could be Binta and the Great Idea, Erramos Pocos, or One Too Many in Spanish, or in English, I guess. Helmer and Son, The Savior, or West Bank Story. And I'm thinking The Savior might have a chance, or West Bank Story might win. I've not seen either of those. I'm just guessing randomly, because most of these I've never seen. For cinematography, which is how the camera moves and how shots and stuff are set up, how lights look, everything, the nominees for cinematography: The Black Dahlia, Children of Men, The Illusionist, Pan's Labyrinth, The Prestige. I'm hoping, and I'm putting all my money on Children of Men, because The Illusionist was very boring as a film. I have yet to see The Black Dahlia, Pan's Labyrinth, or The Prestige, but I'm thinking Children of Men, because it's just, it's gritty. It's a really good film when it comes to grittiness. And that's a whole different term in itself. Screenplay. Best Original Screenplay. Here are the nominees. And of course, everyone knows what a screenplay is. Babel. Letters from Iwo Jima. Little Miss Sunshine. Pan's Labyrinth and The Queen. The one that I'm hoping will win is Little Miss Sunshine. And we shall see, because it's already, it was an independent film, and it got a lot of promotion, a lot of praise. It was a really good film, actually. It's got Greg Kinnear, who's one of my favorite actors. Screenplay adapted, best adapted screenplay. I should have done this first. Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit, Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Children of Men, The Departed, Little Children, and Notes on a Scandal are the nominees for screenplay adapted. Best adapted screenplay. Now, I'm hoping Borat wins, just because it's a hilarious movie. And if you haven't seen Borat 8, you're missing out. But if the Departed or Children of Men wins, I'm going to be happy either way. So this is already turning out to be a not that disappointing Oscar season, because there are many good films that could possibly win. The first category, I love that when they do this, the first category they always do is actress, supporting actress, best supporting actress. Every single year it's the same way. Here are the nominees for the best supporting actress. Adriana Barraza from Babel, Kate Blanchett in Notes on a Scandal, Abigail Breslin in Little Miss Sunshine, Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls, and Rinko Kikuchi. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. In Babel. Did I play this one already? Yeah, I did. So those are the supporting actors, and I think, well, I hope anyway, that Abigail Breslin, who is the little girl in Little Miss Sunshine, because she was absolutely adorable in that film, I hope she wins the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. I'm looking over this really quickly to see if there's anything I have missed. Best Film Editing. I think I've already done that. No, I haven't. Best Film Editing. The Oscar could go to the following. Babel, Blood Diamond, Children of Men, The Departed, or United 93. In my personal opinion, I'd like to see it go to Children of Men or The Departed. However, United 93 is a good film. So, if it went to that, then I would be happy. Okay, we are getting down to the most important of the evening. But before we do that, I don't know if any of you know, but actually last year I hosted a movie show here on KUT. And we had a lot of fun doing that because I got to see a movie every week. You know, a new movie every week. And we had a focus feature every week. And I want to play for you now some of my favorite clips that we ever recorded for that show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Due to the Nakatomi Corporation's legacy of greed around the globe, they're about to be taught a lesson in the real use of power. You will be witnesses.
Yippee-ki-yay,
mother. Those two are from Die Hard. Coming up,
tell me.
Cliffhanger.
If you like, sucker. It's a fucking great ball. I was a fucking good striker.
Craig,
you want
Fairbrass.
To kill me, don't you, Tucker? Take a number and get in line.
John,
I must admit you're a real piece of work.
Yeah, and I must admit you're a real piece of shit.
Here's the best one of them all.
Without a pilot, nobody even gets off this mountain.
What are you doing, Eric?
Do you know what real love is, Crystal?
No.
Sacrifice.
That's my favorite from that movie. That is from Cliffhanger. first clip we played was Craig Fairbrass speaking about soccer. You like soccer? And the second and third and fourth clips had John Lithgow talking. You might recognize John Lithgow from Harry and the Hendersons, and that was his badass role in Cliffhanger, one of my favorite movies of his. And Stallone was like, yeah, I must admit, you're a real piece of... Yeah. I wish I could get Stallone on the phone. That would be so nice. Sylvester Stallone, if you are listening, please call in. I doubt he is.
Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
You guys might recognize that one from a famous nominated film called The Graduate.
Aren't you?
Starring Dustin Hoffman when he was young. He was like in his early 20s there. That was one of his first roles, too. That is actually one of my favorite films of Dustin Hoffman's, even though it was made a long time ago in 1967. And that was nominated for Best Picture, I believe, but it didn't win.
Every man dies. Not every man really lives.
Okay, where's the other rest of that clip? There should be other
people. The Almighty says this must be a fashionable fight. It's drawn the finest people.
Those two clips we just played were from Braveheart, which actually won Best Picture in 1994. Correct me if I'm wrong. 1994, I believe. So that was some of the... that was a quick look at the movie show that we hosted a long time ago here on KU Student Radio. Some of our favorite clips from that show. There's, of course, there's many more. We interviewed so many people... So many famous people, so many people working in the film industry. That was such a good show. I miss that show sometimes. Here on the UFM, though, we talk scary stuff, so. Take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Got some Beatles here. Anyway, keep those comments coming in to the MySpace page, myspace.com/theUFM. Give us a call, 801-585-3449. You know how to use the phone. Do it now.
Make the radio call.
Bit of Beatles there from Abbey Road, because those of you who like the film American Beauty might recognize that song from the very end, but it's not actually that version. So we're going to get quickly through the remaining categories of the Oscars. this weekend. Best Actress, leading role. Penelope Cruz is nominated for Volver. Judi Dench for Notes on a Scandal. Helen Mirren for The Queen. Meryl Streep for The Devil Wears Prada. Kate Winslet for Little Children. Those are the nominations. My bet goes to Judi Dench. I know, I mean, she's been nominated so many times, and I'm not sure if she's actually won before, but yes, Judi Dench is going to win an Oscar this year. You can write it down, as Bush would say. Best actor in a leading role, or supporting role, actually. Nominees are Alan Arkin in Little Miss Sunshine. He's the old guy. Jackie Early Haley in Little Children. I don't know who that is or what movie that is. Dihimon Honsau in Blood Diamond. Eddie Murphy in Dreamgirls. Or Mark Wahlberg in The Departed. I would really like to see Mark Wahlberg win, actually. Best actor in a leading role. Leonardo DiCaprio for Blood Diamond. Ryan Gosling for Half Nelson. Peter O'Toole for Venus. Will Smith for The Pursuit of Happiness. Or Forrest Whitaker, The Last King of Scotland. I'm hoping Leo will take it, but I know some of you out there, maybe one of you at least, wants Ryan Gosling to win for Half Nelson. But I'm putting my money on Leo. The nominees for Best Directing this year in the Oscars: Babel, The Departed, Letters from Iwo Jima, The Queen, and United 93. Those are the nominees for directing this year. My pick, my personal want to happen, The Departed, all the way. If it doesn't win, I'm going to be mad. Best Picture. This all comes down to this. Best Picture. Ow. The nominees are Best Picture: Babel, The Departed, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, The Queen. The nominees, 2007 Oscars. Best Picture. My personal pick, The Departed, is going to win Best Picture. If it doesn't, I'm going to be very, very upset. I'm going to throw my TV out the window. And I will have considered this year another disappointing Oscars season. So we're going to open up the phone lines now for your opinions on these movies in this year's Oscars and your picks. What do you think is going to win this year? What do you think is not going to win? Who do you want to see at the Oscars this year? Because you know all of Hollywood's going to be there. So call in now. 801-585-3449 is the number. 801-585-3449. If you have a question about the nominees or you want to hear them again, we can also do that. Our first caller, thank you for calling KUT.
What's your Oscar pick of the week?
Well, my Oscar picks, I have a couple of them. Actually, I have a whole list in front of me because I'm a big Oscar fanatic as well.
Me too.
But I guess foreign language film, I've seen a lot of these. And I'd definitely say Pan's Labyrinth has to get it, you know, because Pan's Labyrinth was pretty damn good. For art direction, I would have to say Pan's Labyrinth probably deserves it, because more than Pirates of the Caribbean, because it's just a good movie. I recommend you see it, even though it's in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But the subtitles aren't really that annoying.
Okay.
Sound mixing, let's see, I would like to see Apocalypto, probably Apocalypto will get, maybe the Blood Diamond. But I bet Dreamgirls are going to get.
I hope not.
Well, I bet it will. But sound editing, I'm going to say Apocalypto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or again. But I bet either Flags of Our Fathers or Letters. I bet Letters from Iwo Jima is going to get. But live action short film, I have no idea on that one. Animation, I've never seen that one. I've never seen any of the animated features either.
Okay.
I'd bet see An Inconvenient Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm from the South and I strongly disagree with global warming, I have to say that it is probably one of the best nominations out there for, because I haven't seen the other one, but that's the only one I've seen.
Jesus Camp is a good one I would recommend to you since you're from the South.
Well, that's for documentaries. I'm talking about original song.
Oh, original song?
I'm talking about that, what should we call it? Melissa Etheridge song.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I Need to Wake Up.
Yeah, soul needs to wake up. But, Achievement and Wake Up, I'd probably have to say Pan's Labyrinth is probably going to get. And I like Pan's Labyrinth. I consider myself educated.
Okay.
Original screenplay, I'd have to say probably Little Miss Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Pan's Labyrinth again, but I bet the Queen is going to get.
Yeah.
Adapted screenplay. Well, that boy, that sure makes my part of the country look bad, but I don't know. It's kind of funny. The Children of Men, I've seen that one, and I do like that movie, and The Departed. So I have to say probably either of those three I'd be happy with, but I bet that The Departed is going to get that one.
Okay.
The original score, I'll have to say, what I've seen is Pan's Labyrinth, and I'd have to say that's pretty, that probably might win. I don't know. Documentary, I have a short subject I haven't seen, but documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. Like I said, I don't believe in global warming.
Yeah.
But that probably will win, and I think it might, because the directing and, Martin Scorsese with The Departed. I hope he gets it because he hasn't really gotten one.
Yeah, he's been snubbed a lot.
I don't think Clint Eastwood needs another one.
No, he doesn't.
But Paul Greengrass did an awesome job at the United 93 too. Because, you know, that's the day that our country turned around, and United 93 is an important part of it.
Definitely.
But the costume design, I saw my girlfriend drive me to the Devil Wears Prada movie. And I hope that doesn't win.
Yeah.
I don't want that to win anything, but I bet either Marie Antoinette or Dreamgirl will get it.
Yeah.
The visual effect, I kind of like those dumb movies like Poseidon and Superman Return.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Dead Man's Chest, and I really like that movie, so I hope that wins.
Okay.
And I bet it will. Film editing, let me see. I hope that goes to Children of Men, but I wouldn't care if The Departed or United 93 gets that either. And I listened to your show earlier, but you mentioned cinematography twice. You do that twice.
But, I kind of figure I did.
Yeah, but I think that Children of Men should get that, and or maybe even Pan's Labyrinth. Either of those two. But none of the other ones really interest me. Supporting actress, I don't think that the Little Miss Sunshine going to get it. I bet Jennifer Hudson from Dreamgirl is going to get it.
No.
It's because that movie got so much fanfare and stuff.
Yeah.
But actress, I think that, I hope Devil Doesn't Wear Prada gets it. I know it doesn't get it. I hope that doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen any other ones, but I like Kate Winslet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you were asking who I'd like to meet the Oscar. I'd like to meet her. You know, I'd ask her for a date or something. But I was about to make Rachel McAdams from the Notebook movie.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I don't want you to get wrong impression of me watching these kind of Notebook movies because my girlfriend makes me watch it, but I think she's very attractive.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you.
But a supporting actor, I think I don't think Alan Arkin might get because he's old, but I bet Eddie Murphy from Dreamgirl will get it. But I want Mark Wahlberg to get it because he's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like Mark
His
Wahlberg.
Brother was in the Saw series, so I think he needs to get it.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Actor, I think that with Forest Whitaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen Last King of Scotland. Now, the movie's all right, but I think Forest Whitaker is going to get it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But I think Leonardo DiCaprio, I've seen that movie too, Blood Diamond.
Yeah.
And I think he is a good actor, but I think that he did a better job in Departed.
Okay.
And The Last Moon is Best Picture, and I think that I want Departed, though. I hadn't seen... Well, I saw Little Miss Sunshine, but I think Departed needs to win it.
I've heard actually Babel's a good movie, too. I've yet to see
it. I want to see Babel because I heard there's a scene where that the best supporting actress called Rinko Cuccini or whatever her name is. She gets naked. I like that movie. I mean, I didn't say that. But anyway, that was my predictions.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Bye.
Have a good night. That guy sounded strangely
like Denzel Washington. I don't know. Maybe it was him. Maybe it was Denzel Washington. Any more predictions? Any more reaction to the Oscars? Are you going to watch it or are you not going to watch it? Send us a fast flatch at myspace.com/theUFM, and I'll be sure to read them on the air. You have 10 minutes. 801-585-3449 is the number. The phone line is now directly open for your predictions for this year's Oscars, which are Sunday night, February 25th, 2007. And I'm definitely going to be watching, because you know me. Let's see, what song is this? Good song. to let our listeners know really quick that if you have any comments on our show, be sure to leave them on either MySpace or ubstudios.com has a forum which you can sign up for free. A lot of people seem to be doing it this week. ubstudios.com, the place where the Intermountain Paranormal Society is, they have a forum where you can sign up. We have another caller. Thank you for calling KUTE.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I had a prediction for Best Picture.
Okay.
I think that Little Miss Sunshine will win.
Why do you say that?
Because I just think that the story is an original story.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see many movies like that about just how families like come together and support each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an original story, and I just think that girl that played Olive, she was just so cute.
Yeah, her name is let's see, what's her name? Abigail Breslin.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like she's 12 years old. But I see you have a good point, actually. Little Miss Sunshine was a very original story, and the movie was actually very well filmed for independent, so it has a chance.
Okay.
We won't know until like late in the evening on Sunday, so.
Yep.
Thank you for your prediction.
All right, thanks.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Little Miss Sunshine for Best Picture. What do you guys think? Will it win? Will it not? I'm thinking The Departed's still going to take it. Just because I'm stubborn. Anyway, what I was saying about the ubstudios.com forums, they have a topic called Scary Central. So if you have your own personal ghost stories, sign up for an account there. It's free. It's really free. No catch, I swear. You want to know why? Because I'm the founder of ubstudios.com. But the Intermountain Paranormal Society is also there, and we'll answer your questions and everything, because I frequent the forum very often. Again, MySpace is the easiest route to use, though. And this very show you are listening to will be archived on our MySpace page probably by tomorrow sometime. Or tonight. We don't know. Hopefully my computer is still recording. Cool edit. Hello, computer. Anyway, wow. That is the Oscar show. And that is the UFM. What song do we have here? Can you turn it down a little bit, okay? Got some Bee Gees here with How Deep Is Your Love here on KUTE Student Radio's The UFM Show, After Dark. Where the time went. That is the UFM show this evening as we wrap this up for you. Hope you had an enjoyable show. I think that was cool. We had C on from Intermountain Paranormal Society. We hope to have him back next week to explain all of those strange and scary sounds he recorded. And the people in the union are leaving, so that's my cue to get out of here. Anyway, have a good evening. Let me pan this down and get our outro ready. I really am happy with our outro this season of the UFM. Okay, that's not it. That's the THX thing I forgot to play. Anyway, this is the UFM show every Thursday night, 8 to 10 p.m. here on KUTE Student Radio, broadcasting from Salt Lake City, Utah. The campus of the University of Utah, the greatest school in the world, dude. And my name is Justin. Good night.
Stay safe.